It's always really good to have visitors and, you know, friends visiting us. And we realize that when people come, you know, it's an honor. We know you're not primarily coming here for the church. You're coming here to share with a family or friends. But it is an honor for us to be able to host that and to welcome you. But it gives us a problem because we've always got to try and work out about whether we be ourselves or whether we try to be a bit sort of more sensible for a day or something. And it presents a problem for the teaching, because it's, do we carry on with the teaching we've been doing, what we think is what we need to be working through at this point, or do we try and tweak it to recognize there's going to be people here who have maybe used to go to church and don't, or who don't go to church, who've got a massive problem with church and are sitting there struggling. So first of all, again, I just appreciate you come in and staying with this. And I've gone different ways on this, you know, over different occasions. And today, I think I should still try and get the essence of what I was going to say. I'm not going to do the slides, because when you get into slides, you've got to make all these decisions. You get onto a bit of a roll. So I won't be doing the slides. I'll just speak off these notes. So basically, we believe God has planted this church in this area to be a blessing to this area primarily, but also whatever area you are living in. So we believe that God is calling us to, as the vision says, or the strapline, or whatever you want to call it, it doesn't really matter as long as we do it, for love God, love one another, love our community. That's it. That's what we want to do. If we want to do work and stuff, it's got to fit in with that. And for this year, we got some priorities that we're looking at, and this is what I was working through. This is number 5 of a series, where we're looking at connecting with the community, prayer, relationships, healing, bringing healing to the community, bringing healing to those around us. This isn't primarily about us getting healed. That is really good. People in here have had some measure of healing in different ways. But bringing it to those around us. And finally, hearing from God. And today is about hearing from God. But I've been a little bit sneaky, because it's not actually about hearing from God. We've had loads of teaching on that. And, you know, I can do one on that, or you can read up on that, how to hear from God, about, you know, making time, blah, 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 blah. God wants to speak to you. But listen, it's about hearing from God for others. You see, you are being blessed to be a blessing. Okay, now, this is how I do it. I tend to be a bit... I sometimes think I'm too challenging, but I'm trying to sort of rein it back in. So if you're a visitor today, just sit back and think, oh, I'm glad I don't come here, this guy's over the top. But for Woody, I want to challenge you to be, you're being blessed to be a blessing. Do you get that? That's got to be in our DNA. You're blessed to be a blessing. You're not blessed to hoard. And you may think you're not blessed much, but you are blessed incredibly. And that's why you need to look at how you can bless others. Because it's amazing. When you hear other stories, you realize how blessed you are. And the other thing is that there's an awful lot of chatter out there. There's so many opinions. There are so many opinions. And there are some unbelievably off-the-scale idiots giving opinions. Donald Trump, I rest my case. How? I'm not going to even go there, but I think it's just an example of where we are as a society, where what we're prepared to listen to, what we're prepared to give credence to. And yet, here's the thing. If we believe as Christians we have received the word of life, how much should we be seeking to share that? Not in a heavy bang way, but in a way of love. How much should we be just saying, maybe there's the wisdom of God that I should speak into a situation, or that I should share or something? And that's the essence of what I want to talk about. That you are able to hear from God, and that you are able to share with others. When I was coming this morning, I was still struggling. That's why I didn't go to the quiz. I have struggled this weekend about what message to bring, and whether to do it from Corinthians, or whether to do what I would call a more gospel message, if you like, about Jesus or creation or whatever. And I thought, no, I'm going to do Corinthians. I'm going to I'm going to stay with what we believe God is saying to us as a church. And as I was coming through the cemetery, I met Terry. And every Sunday I meet Terry coming through the cemetery because he's walking his dog going the other way and I'm coming this way to church. And you know what happens over the few years, you know, first of all, you don't even, and then after a few weeks you go, all right, mate. And then after that, and before you long, you're, oh, how you doing? You're chatting and like he goes to church and, you know, about his family, we got mutual friends and, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's not on my Christmas card list, you know, but we're getting there. So we're chatting this morning and we're always in a bit of a hurry because he's got to get back home, go to church, and I'm coming here. And he said, tell me, because he knows I'm a pastor. He said, I go to a Catholic church. It's all set out, you know. I know what he's talking about, the lectionary, yeah. It's all set out. Every year, they know what they're saying or it goes in the cycles. And so they got the gospel reading and the Old Testament reading and so on and so on. And he said, do you do that? And I thought, I wish. Sometimes I do, because I said to him, sometimes I do wish, because we don't have to think about it then. You just look at that word for that week. And my Anglican friends say, you know, that can be quite brilliant. But I said, actually, we don't do that. We, you know, it comes down to the elders, really, to discern what we should be saying, you know, over a year. So we meet and we try and get... So it's our responsibility to see, you know, what parts of Scripture, whatever themes to look at, etc. And I said, I envy that in some ways, but in other ways, it gives us a lot of freedom. And then he's about to go. So remember, I've been struggling all weekend with whether to speak on Corinthians or not. He's about to go, and he said, oh, he said, the other day, he said, there was an amazing letter. It was called Corinthians. It's really good. Anyway, ta-da. And I laughed. I was walking through the cemetery. People must have thought I was still coming home from a night out. I was going out, you know. It must have thought, because I was walking through the cemetery laughing my head off. How amazing is that? That God just put that final thing in from the most random place. So what I'm saying is, right, God wants to speak to you. He wants to speak through you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to the people around you. So I'm going to quickly give you three principles on this. God wants to speak. He wants to speak through you. He wants to speak. He wants to let people know that he is and who he is and the good news of his son. He wants this. This is an open door. This is not a, I wonder. He wants to. He absolutely wants to. And just one little example I'm going to use is from John 16, where Jesus says to his disciples, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears from the Father, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And that worked out, obviously, partly in terms of the scriptures being put together, in terms of the Bible, the Lord speaks through that, but also in terms of the Lord speaking through his people. Speaking to you individually, but speaking through his people. And the whole thing, this is the whole Corinthians thing, it's so important that the body, God is speaking through us to one another. That's why fellowship is so important. And that's why love and acceptance is important, because we've got to be able to share stuff with each other for testing and stuff. Okay, second principle is every one of us is called to serve. Every one of us is called to serve. Ephesians 4. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, is the fivefold ministry of the church, to equip his people for works of service. That's what it's about, guys. We so easily want to get others, let others do it. Let them teach, let them prophesy, let them heal, whatever, whatever. All of the, you know, all of the sort of different ministries and stuff like that. But, So the body of Christ may be built up. So the works of service are so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Our maturity is dependent upon one another. How scary is that? You might have missed it. To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. So this thing, oh, I'm going to get really strong, I'm going to go over here, I'm going to get so sussed, me and God are going to be bang, bang, bang. That isolation thing is not in scriptures. We are dependent on one another. This is why we need to pray for one another and bless one another. We are dependent upon one another. We need one another to grow into maturity. And then attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Guys, honestly, if we could love and learn to hear for each other, not be so hung up on getting our own stuff fed and be there for one another, it'd be a radical revolution. Radical. It's totally countercultural. Not me, 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 me. Not I. Not grab, gimme, gimme, gimme. Not grab, grab, grab. Not I'll move around until I get what I need. This isn't right for me. I'm moving on. But what can I do to share the love of Christ that's been poured into me with those around me? What can I do with, even if God's given me a crumb, that I could help someone else, that I could share that? Because when you give it away, you'll get more. You can't outgive God. Oh, I love you guys. You're going to get this. Right. Don't get hung up on title. Don't get up on... It says prophets. Does that mean that only the prophets prophesy? No. That is when a ministry becomes recognized through someone's prophecy is often, you know, is good and is spot on, or maybe even is doing another part of prophecy we won't go into today, sort of telling the future. Don't go there, don't worry about that. But the role of the prophet is a bigger one, but everybody can prophesy. That's why he said, I would have you all prophesy. I would have you all prophesy, and it's not preaching. And it's the same with the healing thing from last week. There are people called with the gift of healing for a ministry of healing that will walk in it faithfully, and will miracles will start to come through it. But we are all called to pray for healing. We are all called to be representatives of the kingdom. And the same is about the word. So don't get up on the title. Finally, we need to ask. You need to ask. Why do you need to ask? If God is so great and God is so powerful, why do you need to ask? Because you're in a relationship. You're in a relationship. People here, if you're, you know, you're in a family with your brother and sister, you don't demand stuff. You don't say, you know, if I go home and say, John, I need feeding now, you know, I mean, you know, feed me. I would be walking as a man without various limbs and stuff. I wouldn't be walking. I quite rightly too. You're in a relationship. If you don't get anything else, get this, please. God wants a relationship. It's a two-way thing. He wants you to ask. I don't know, ask God. Isn't that amazing? That he elevates you to a place where he wants to talk with you. He wants to converse with you. It says in Isaiah, it says, come, let us reason together. Oh my gosh, he's talking to sinners. Come, let us reason together. The Lord of hosts, come, let us reason together. Please ask. James says, you don't have because you don't ask. Now, I've ripped that a little bit out of context. We can have a look at it, James 4. But it is a powerful verse because there's a principle in it about asking. And so often it comes down to this. Lord, have you got a word for this guy? Have you got a word for my friend or my sister? And the Lord, very often, will give you something. Then your problems begin. That's another lesson how to deliver it. Okay, time has gone. I want to encourage you to be open to the Holy Spirit. It doesn't take a massive level of holiness. It just takes being in a relationship and being prepared to open your gob and say, Lord, have you got something for these? Have you got something? Have you something I could share? It's very powerful. Very powerful. If you share with someone with no faith or a different faith, please don't be hemmed in. Please don't be hemmed in. You know, I wish there were less prophetic words in the church than anywhere else. By which I mean that there were so many in the community, in your work, in your schools, that the numbers in all that lot would make the ones here look tiny by comparison. Because you're blessed to be sent out. Amen. Okay. Right. The word prophecy means purely the word prophecy. And this is why you get into problems when you try and make it preaching, as some churches have done. The word prophecy means telling forth the counsel of God. Telling forth the counsel of God. Okay, so it's something that God knows. And the key thing is the timing. Let me give you an example. When in a previous church, there was a guy that had come to the Lord out of a huge drug background and blah, blah, blah. And he was working through some stuff, you know. And we had an amazing Bible teacher come to us, a Hebrew and Greek scholar, incredible guy, the best teacher I've ever heard, unbelievable. And this guy moved in all the gifts and was a very powerful guy, but so humble. And he saw this guy, the preacher was just coming out of the toilet when my mate Stein was going in. And he looked at him. And he just said, "Jesus loves you as his son." And then he walked on. And Stein, he just dissolved. Because it was the word of God. It was easy. That's not a headline. Do you know what I mean? That's not a newsflash. Jesus loves you as his son. We were singing it. It's that he was open to the Spirit to have the word, the moment and the person lined up. And that's the element of the prophetic. It speaks out. Now, there is a foretelling aspect, like I said, which is when you see people in the New Testament, they say prophets, Agabus, he was a prophet. He told about stuff that was going to happen. But there is, that's freaky, that clock's not being changed. There is, really? An hour? There is an element of that lining up. And that's why you don't have to dig. Because if you just say, "Lord, have you got something?" you'll find something may float in. And if it doesn't, that's okay. The idea is to be an open channel. Dave, our old friend Dave Carlos, used to say, it was almost like putting your hand out and seeing if a feather came down and say, "Oh, yeah." You know, it's that gentle. Okay. I would say, I would advise you not to strive, but to rest. I love the expression, lean back in him, rest in him. Just say, "Lord, you got anything?" In any situation, I was in a business thing a while ago, and I just felt God say, and I shared it, and the guy was, "Wow, how do you know that?" And he actually spoke with something he hadn't revealed. That doesn't happen to me often. I pray it would happen more. Okay, that's it. Thank you.